I want to talk to you this morning about don't let the ship go down. I said to Peter on his way in the door, Peter, how are you doing? Good. Don't let the ship go down. For every trouble encountered, how many of you know endurance is required? For every trouble you encounter, endurance is required. Now let me say this to you, a pre-thought. As your pastor, I can lead you, I can feed you. What I can't do for you is swallow and digest. Your followership is only as good as your swallowship. If you can't swallow what's fed to you, you're in trouble. You'll never digest it. So with that being said, take a deep breath, swallow and digest what's being given to you today. Because when God speaks, God always speaks in two ways. He either speaks bang on for where you're at right now, or he speaks for where you're headed into. Hello? Okay, let's go to Proverbs 24:10. And it's a very short scripture. It's my main text this morning, but it's a very short scripture, and I'll unpack it as we go along. And it says this. Look at me. If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength, Joel? If you falter in times of trouble, then how small is your strength? Something will be revealed in a time of trouble. Now, the size of your trouble is measured by the strength of God that's within you. The size of the trouble that's being measured against you, in other words, whatever's coming against you, will reveal the size of the measure of God that is within you. In other words, if you crumble just because you're under trouble, then your strength, the strength of God in you, is not built and developed to a point where it can stand and push back the trouble or resist the trouble. Amen? So trouble, if trouble troubles you, then you're in trouble. Trouble will always come against you, and trouble will always try to trouble you and unseat you on the inside. But it's the measure of God within you that has to rise up and cause you not to be overcome by the trouble that you encounter. And that's not always easy, is it? It's not. So, what trouble are you in right now? God is measuring us. He's trying to find out the strength of God. Now, the true size of any church, listen to this. The true size of any church is not how many backsides we can get on these seats. So many people are measuring church by those, the congregation. You measure a church by the size of God in the people and how he can manifest through the lives of the people. You can have a 200 strong congregation, but yet God, they live like they're defeated. They live like they are dull. They don't respond to the word of God. But there's 200 people there, but God cannot manifest himself in the lives of those 200 people. So it's not a church. You've got a congregation, but you haven't got a church. Now, if you just grasped that this morning, went home, we were further on than when we walked in. Some of you look around and see these empty seats. Don't worry about the empty seats. Worry about the filled ones. The empty seats are being taken care of. But it's right now, it's the ones that are here that need to wake up and see what's actually in me. Oh, you went very quiet in this Catholic church. The strength of God in you, with the depth of your Christian character. Oh, Christian character. There's a word you don't hear many people talk about. It's directly connected to your trouble. Your character is connected to the trouble. You see, because you see some people who go through trouble and they're just bitter. They're just hard. They're always complaining. In fact, Clive Woodward, some of you may not know Clive Woodward, but he was the England rugby coach who won us the World Cup. We remember him because we don't win the World Cup often. And he had this team. And he had five players in his team that he was unsure about. He said their attitude was a little bit off. When we did training, they were always complaining. He said, so we took them to the paras, the para regiment, you know, the armed forces. And we spent 2 days with them. And he said, and went through all the training. And the guy who was taking the England rugby team through the training gave Clive Woodward five names that he believed if they became paras, they wouldn't make it. And it was exactly the same five guys that he said was in his team and didn't think was going to make it. They said they don't have the attitude for the trouble that they're going to face. Isn't that amazing? They don't have the attitude, the right attitude for the trouble that you're going to face. See, your trouble that you face needs the right attitude. It needs a certain type of attitude, and that is the character that God wants to form within us all. I don't want trouble. I don't like trouble. But I know trouble finds me very easy. I only have to open my mouth. Trouble finds me so, so easy. I don't know about you, but it finds me. Now, I can get myself easily in trouble. So can you. But can you get yourself out of the trouble that you easily got yourself into? Now, here's a phrase. Watch this. Stop trying to talk yourself out of what you behave yourself into. Stop trying to talk yourself out of what you behave yourself into. In other words, you can keep talking to God about what you behave yourself into. Do you understand that? Talk and behavior are two different things. Some people have a silver tongue. They think they can talk their way out of any trouble. But you can't, because your behavior is stronger than your talk. Yeah? Don't behave yourself into something that you can't get out of. Wow. So if you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Put that down on your fridge magnet. Put that down in your bedroom, on your wall. If I falter in times of trouble, what that's telling me is trouble's there. Trouble will come. Trouble has a time. How long trouble lasts determines how you respond to it. Most trouble anyway, not all trouble. Trouble will come. And the possibility of me faltering in that time of trouble will be reflective of the amount of strength I have. Does that make sense? This is what the scripture is telling us. Such a small proverb is telling us a lot. Such a small proverb is telling us an awful lot about you and I in times of trouble. You might be on the mountain today. Wonderful. Stay there as long as you can. But trouble's coming up. I don't say that to be negative. It's just a fact of life. In fact, Paul says this, the Apostle Paul, not that Paul, this Paul over here. A lot of what he says doesn't get recorded in this book. Paul says, if you're going to get married, you can have trouble. And I want to save you from that kind of trouble. Imagine that. Telling that to a young bride or a young groom, don't get married, you'll have loads of trouble. Well, you're going to get trouble if you're not married. I'd rather have a partner in trouble, wouldn't you? I'd rather have a partner in trouble. Carol's my partner in trouble. She's not the trouble in our partnership, but we are a partner in trouble. She's my partner for trouble. Yeah? So, sociologists, don't you love them? They did an experiment. And I want to bring this experiment to you today. And they did this experiment about, they said that at some point in history, which is obvious, that four generations are all going to converge in the workplace. Four generations. And that generation would be the baby boomers. That's me. I'm a baby boomer. Because they're born in 1965. To 1980. Sorry, 1955 to 64. Anybody born before 1955? That generation's called OLD. OLD, right? But in 1955, 64, that's the baby boomers. Then we have Generation X. Yeah, not the X-Men. They were born before 65 to 80. Then we have the Generation Y, the millennials. We all have heard about the millennials, haven't we? Then we have the Generation Z. So that's four, not that Z, that's MZI. Generation Z. So that's four generations all going to converge in the workplace all at the same time. Right? And that's happened, is it not? We now, because they've moved the age of retirement, we have the young Stalin and we have the old granddad at the top. Right, now here's the thing. What their study's shown, are you ready for this? What their study's shown is that in the baby boomers and the Gen X, there is something in those two generations that's not in the millennials and in the Generation Z. Do you know what it is? They say that the millennials and Gen X do not have, ready for this? Perseverance and endurance. They are brilliant. They are skilled. They are smart. They're educated. They're young. They can move. They can make things change. They can make things happen. They've got all these kind of skills and abilities. But the character side of, this is their study, so don't knock me. Perseverance and endurance is something that these sociologists said those two generations don't have. Now, the good news this morning is that if you're a believer, God demands it and will build it into you. And the way he does that is through capital T. Trouble. Yeah? When those two generations find it difficult when things don't go their way to navigate their emotions through, beyond, and above, and around, and underneath. Endurance. In other words, they'll find every reason why it can't be done, shouldn't be done, won't be done, and why they should stop. That's the sociologist saying that. That's not the gospel to Pastor Tony. But I have seen that as a pastor, as I've counseled and watched and observed, I have seen that in my own ministry. Now, trouble, difficulty, expectation, and hardships all need to be managed. Every day they need to be managed within us, do they not? Yeah. And the thing is this, in the New Testament, your Bible, go to the right, it's called the New Testament. Go to the left, it's called the Old Testament. But if you took all of it, it still says the same. But in the New Testament, the central theme written beyond Christ, just in other words, Christ is obviously the center theme. But the most central theme to all Christians is to persevere and endure. You cannot remove the need for perseverance and endurance in the New Testament church. It's splattered all over. Splattered all over. So why do we think it should change today? Well, life's got to be easier today in some ways. Is it? I wouldn't think it's easy, it's just different. It's just a challenge, still a challenge. Whichever generation you're part of, each generation has to face. I've never faced a war. I don't know what it is to have bombs whistling and run down into an air raid shelter. I don't know what that feels like. My generation was very, very different. Your generation might be different, but it doesn't matter what generation you were born in, trouble is still trouble to you. Whatever it is. So just because you've not seen a war, does that mean that the other guy's trouble is more than yours? No, because it has to be managed on the inside. Does it not? You see, collective trouble, when the whole nation's in trouble, that's one thing. But when you're personally, privately, individually in trouble, that's another thing. Because nobody on the outside can see what's going on the inside. But when we're all struggling with COVID, we can all see the problem. And there is common, The commonality, we're all in the same boat together, but we're not all always in the same ocean, are we? So, Paul makes this a central theme. So, let me just use an illustration here. Paul, will you stand up for me, please? Millennial. Baby boomer. Right? Now, we have... Give me a Generation X. When was you born, John? Are you older than me? How old are you? Are you 50 or 60? 50. All right, get in the middle then, John. You'll be a perfect... You're a perfect illustration. Here's Gen X. He looks good. Baby boomer. OLD. So, me and him, I've got something that he don't have, according to the sociologist. Right, so I'm Apostle Paul. I'll be Apostle Paul for a minute. And I'm going to send a message to the millennial generation. You ready for this? And it's taken from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. So I can see there's a Timothy in my sight. And right now I'm looking at Timothy's all around here. Timothy, look at me. Whoever you are, you're all a Timothy. Because this baby boomer over here and the OLDs, this is what he says. You, Timothy, so it's like a continuation of a conversation. You, Timothy, can you see me down there, Timothy? You, however, know all about my teaching. You know about my way of life. My life has a way. So you're watching this, millennial. We have a way. Because if you want to understand what perseverance and endurance looks like, it must have a life, a teaching, and a way. Right? You know my purpose. You know my faith. We talked about these last week. Father's Day. You know my patience. You know my love. Oh. And you know my endurance. Paul adds that in there. You know my endurance. You know the persecutions and the sufferings that we endured. And what kind of things happened to me in Gorton? What kind of things happened to me in Ashton? What kind of things happened to me in Reddish? Ashton, Clayton, you know all about these things. The persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Amen. Hey, millennial down there, I want you to know that if you persevere and endure and have a life and a faith and a patience and endurance, God will deliver you from trouble, because I was in a lot of it, and he's telling the millennial down the line, trouble's coming, but you better have something built on the inside, because it's coming to your generation. And it's going to manifest differently than it might have manifested in mine, but it's coming. Do you hear me, millennial? Gen X is saying, come over here, John, you can stand with me. And John goes, yeah, that's right, because we've had to fight it together, haven't we?
Yeah,
that's right. Tell him. Go on, tell him. Yeah. So now Gen X stands in the way, and he goes and takes the same fight. Go on, John, remind him. Read that scripture, John, remind him. Remind him, John, tell him. Because he needs to hear it, John. It's already highlighted there, John, there.
Yeah, let's...
Now say it like you really mean it. There, here. 2 Timothy. Oh. There.
You're all glad you were
right. Fixed, aren't you? That there, from there. Go on, read it out. Now say it like you mean it.
Yes, Timothy. However, know that about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, love, and endurance. Persecution, suffering, what kind of things happened to me?
In Gorton. Reddish,
Rosen,
Clayton, Ashton, go on, that's it, yeah.
In Zambia,
yeah.
Yeah, the persecution I endured, let the Lord rescue me, and yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. He shall do the same to you.
Amen. Amen. Well done. Okay, boys, you can sit down now. So you can see that Paul, as a baby boomer, we're using our language, was talking to a millennial generation, a Timothy. Who knows, he could have been younger, could have been slightly older, give or take a few years. But there's a message that has to be sent. But there's a message, watch, there's a message that has to be lived first. It has to be lived first so that it can be sent. Or the letter we find, we get the Elvis Presley, return to sender. We don't want the letter we send to return back to us. We want it to keep going. And then we want Paul to stand up. Watch, come on, Paul, stand up, stand up. Stand up. Now, talk to the young'uns over there. The young'uns. Now, you can say, my old fella told me. Go on. Read it to him. Like you mean it. Like you've been convicted. Yeah? Yeah?
My old fella, he's really old, really old, said this to me. You, however, know all about my teachings, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, and what all kinds of things happened to me in
Gorton,
Drawlsden, Manchester, Liverpool,
Zambia.
Zambia, Switzerland,
yeah,
so we've been everywhere. The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them.
And he will.
And he'll do the same for you. For you.
Yes. Believe it or not, it'll do the same for you because he did the same for him, which he did the same for me, which he did the same for them. That's it. That's why. He just doesn't do it for you because God likes you. He does it because he's a faithful God. Amen. Can you see this? So what makes us endure and persevere is the size, well, not only just the size of the trouble, but the size of your hope and the size of your love and your expectation and belief that things will get better if I hold on to what I already know. You see, me coming to Lisa with a scripture in her time of trouble, if Lisa is not a woman who adheres herself to the Word of God, that scripture makes no difference to her. You can't add anything of God to somebody who doesn't add anything to themselves. Can I give you something powerful? I'm going to go for a strike now. Can I go for it? Yeah. If you're not prepared to read what's been written about God, why do you think you're prepared and ready to receive what he's about to say to you? Yeah. If you're not prepared to read what has been written, why do you think you're prepared on a Sunday morning for what's being spoken to you? There must be an attachment to what's being written. So that there's a receivership for what's being spoken. And there is a reason why so many generations disconnect. Because they broke ties with what's been written. Good preaching, Tony. You'll get the posthumous award someday. So let me say again. If you falter in times of trouble, how shallow, small is your strength? If. It's not getting knocked down that's the problem, guys. It's how long you stay down. You can look like you're beaten and that bell rings up. As long as you get up before the bells stop ringing, even if you hear bells ringing in your head, get up. Just keep getting up. So, this Christian generation has a tendency to back away from what it starts. Because trouble gets too much. or they're too busy, or. But you, however, know all about. My job is by the time I finish my shift, you know all about. You've observed a life, not just a preacher. You've heard about my faith. You've heard about my life. You've seen my troubles. I've not been persecuted, thank God. Well, I suppose they have in some ways, but not like biblical persecutions. I've not been hung, tarred and feathered, hung, drawn and quartered, though I have been slaughtered a few times. Trouble finds me. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. But man of God, now, I'm talking as a baby boomer, so I'm going to keep talking to I'm going to talk to Generation X, Millennials, and Z. And I'm going to say this, girls, if I look at you, this applies to you, even though it's in the masculine context. But since we started, me and John started a good work this morning, talking to the millennial over there. Let me say this to you, but you, man of God. It starts with that word, but you, man of God. So now he's not just talking to anyone. He's talking to someone distinct, specific. But you, man of God. If it was a girl, if Paul was a woman, she'd be saying, you, woman of God. But you, man of God. So he's talking to the right guy. He's put him in a context. He's put him in a very specific context. You're a man of God. So therefore, I can talk to you in a specific way. You, man of God, flee from all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. You cannot have perseverance and endurance without a good fight. Fight the right things. Fight for the right things. That's what perseverance and endurance does. You need to know what you're fighting for, not who you're fighting against all the time. What you're fighting for. Because the things that you're fighting for is the reason why the one who's coming against you is trying to take it away. Yeah. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and you made your good confession. We heard you when you said, I want to follow Jesus. Heaven witnessed what you said. Well, I just came to church. My mum and dad heard what I had to say. My mum and dad just brought me to church. Yes, but in the back there when the children's factory starts. And you gave your life in that room and you didn't think that we saw. We did see. We did hear. All heaven witnessed it. Because if he didn't, that means your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life. That means you need saving. So if you were saved, you need your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So you better go back and check whether you did say it. So if you did say it, now we need to take you into growth. Okay? So he says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and you made your good confession. In the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who will testify before Pontius Pilate, made this good confession. And this is what he says, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you endure and you persevere until you either go home and see Christ or Christ comes back for you. There's the length of your perseverance and your endurance. You persevere until you break through and see the glory of God shine on your life, or he comes back and takes you. Yeah. Amen? But if he comes back, he says, will I find faith on the earth? That's why you've got to fight the good fight of faith. So we need to get our head in the game. Baby boomers, Generation X, Millennials, Gen Z, we need to get our head in the game and understand that as a Christian, God is expecting our faith to have some endurance and perseverance. It's not only your boss that demands extra. God doesn't demand extra. God demands all of you. Work that one out and you're free. The moment you think you're giving a little bit to God and you're doing him a favor, you'll always wrestle. Because he'll always ask more for more. Why? Until all of you has been given. So he says, to get our head in the game and to understand the sociologist, he says, Romans 12 says this, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, because our world has a pattern. And we understand the patterns. People have pattern behavior. People have pattern thinking. The world works on cycles, seasons. Everything has a pattern to it. Why? Because God is a pattern God. Hello? Your life has a sense. You are predictable whether you realize it or not. In fact, I went through... forget that. You don't need to know. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. By how? By going to church? No. By being in the worship team? No. By being in children's church? No. He said there's only one way to get your head in the game, is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is the seat. Your mind is the seat that if it becomes unstable, all of you becomes unstable. And the mind is the one thing that's up for grabs in this generation more than any time I can know. Others may turn around and say, no, it's been always been the same, but it just appears to me that the mind now, remember what I said a couple of weeks ago? Mental illness used to be, when I was growing up, an old person's disease. Now, it affects anyone. It's not an old person's disease, not an OLD's disease. It's crept into every sphere of society. Pressure's come. So many different ways. Trouble is troubling people. And people are so far buried under trouble, they don't know how to get out. So we have to have a message and a life and a pattern that helps people to get out of trouble and keep out of trouble. Amen? He says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test. Some of us don't know how to test what's coming against us because we're so embroiled. We've been so captured by it, we haven't got the clarity of thought to test what's actually challenging us. And he says, not only test, but approve. If there's one thing I see in the church today, that there seems to be no filter system for testing and approving what people accept and listen to. And he says, you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. God's will, there's another great thing that most Christians don't understand what God's will is. That's why they shoot off and they try and find it at the end of the rainbow. Well, first of all, there ain't no rainbow to chase. God leads us. But people try and get a career and then try and fit God in at the end and realize why it's not working. How good and pleasing and perfect his will is. Now, endurance and perseverance make sense when your heart and your mind is able to distinguish what's good and what's bad, what's perfect, what's pleasing, what isn't. When I can say goodbye to some things, I'm free. When I can't say goodbye to some things, I'm captured. And I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that I can't say goodbye to or haven't yet got to that place. But if I don't say goodbye to some things, eventually, depending what those things are, they can contain me and eventually cause me to sabotage my own destiny. So that word confirm, it means to being a believer who behaves according to socially acceptable conventional standards. Being a believer who behaves according to socially acceptable conventional standards. How many people, Christians in church, are behaving and are believing to the social acceptable standards of society? Yes. And it means being a similar or a type. Now, depending on what variety of trouble that you get to encounter, here's my answer for whatever trouble you need to, whatever trouble you're in and need to get out of. Let me suggest something that will start that journey for you. You ready? God's word in you has to become the highest priority. It has to become the highest priority. You see, this morning as we read, as Mary brought the scripture to us from the Lord, we all felt that God was moving, did we not? God was speaking. Well, if God was speaking, have you still remembered what God was spoke? Can anybody tell me where she read from? Good, good. Now, God spoke to you before you're hearing me speak. So God spoke by his spirit. So you need to take that word and say, okay, Lord, if I'm going to go swimming, what does that mean? What does going swimming mean? Do I find a pool now and jump in it? No, it's nothing to do with physical swimming. If we're going to step into the word. God reveals everything to you by his word. He doesn't reveal everything you need to know inside a church. But by his word. Why? Because when you go into his word, it's you and him. When we're doing this now, you're listening to what I'm saying. But when you go into the word, it's you and him. If you don't have a relationship with the word, you can't go swimming. Some people will just read a verse a day. That's the toes wet. Other people will read their daily bread. I don't need the daily bread if I've got the word. But I understand the daily bread. If it works for you, fine. That might just be getting you your feet wet. But if you want to go further, depending on what your desire is, you can go all the way. But if you treat the word like it's always going to be a bare minimum in your life, guess what? You're never going swimming, you're going paddling. Because when God wants you in his word, he wants you to submerge. Some of us want to be baptized with a sprinkling of water when God says, no, I want you to go all the way. Full immersion. When we read the word, it's got to be full immersion. Now that's a journey to get there. But it starts with putting your toe in the water. Some of us need to reevaluate how we read. And how much we read and how deep we're prepared to go. And I don't understand this. We'll read until you do understand it. You're smart, you're intelligent. That generation, we've already heard the millennials are smart. But if you're going to persevere and endure, you're going to need much more than a fridge magnet. Why? Because he can hear the words of faith, patience, a life. Because he's got kids of his own. Imagine what it's going to be like in Joshua's time. His young boy. Imagine what it's going to be like in your girl's time. It's already rough now. They've got to see an example. Remove all your kids' excuses for blaming you. So, God won't override this lack of desire for his word. It's something that's to come from you. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I've found myself praying many, many times, God, give me a desire for your word. Lord, I can see it's waning. I can see it. Some days I don't want to go near it. Some days it's just I want to push it away. It's like Carol giving me the same meal twice. And I have to tell myself, no, this is good for me. And some days I read it and I get nothing from it. Yeah. Some days I'm thinking, what's he on about? God, can you make it understandable? And some days I've stood there and I've said, Lord, give me a desire for your word because I already know I'm going cold towards it. But you know what saves me? It's my conscience. I know I'm drifting. I know I'm drifting. The moment I lose my conscience, I've lost my way. And at least when I've got a conscience about it, I can call out to God and say, Lord, I recognize I'm drifting. Pull me by your grace, by your mercy. Pull me back. And you know what? He does it. Time and time again. And then I find myself maybe reaching another dry period. And then I'm still conscious and I say, Lord, I'm back here again. Bring me back. And I know that I think if God doesn't do it, I don't have it within myself sometimes to pull me back. But at least I'm conscious about it. And that is the major thing, having a God conscience. Young people, if you lose anything, don't lose your conscience. Because it's your conscience that will cause you to cry out when you're sinking. You might sink, that's fine. But guess what? You're built to float. You're built to float. Even babies understand that. Throw a baby into the water, a baby automatically floats. God's made us to float. But what's the one thing you do when you're in trouble? You cry out. Learn to cry out. But learn, if you can, not to get yourself in trouble. But if you do, cry out. Amen? Okay. I've got more time than you've got backside. Okay. How many of you know Jesus said in Hebrews 3:8 says that I am the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. In other words, he's saying is he is psychologically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, God Almighty, stable. Whatever happens, God is not turned on an axis. God doesn't have a bad day. God doesn't have an headache. You know, I'm driving to Carol to work the other day, and the thought came to me, jokingly, because I like to have a laugh with myself. I wonder who God prays to when he's in trouble. And I know the answer to that straight away. God doesn't have anyone to pray to because there's no one before him. He created the world. He doesn't have anybody else to look up to. God is the creator. And I just thought to myself, wouldn't it be interesting? And this thought came to me. If God ever has to pray because he's in trouble, then we're all in trouble. God ever had to pray because he's in trouble, we are all gone. Yeah? But thank God, God is never in trouble. But God becomes troubled in his heart by the way we respond and the way we behave. But God's never in trouble, but he becomes troubled, concerned. And his heart is always towards us. And listen, if you ever understand anything, if you want to understand the secret of perseverance and endurance, understand that God is the same yesterday, today, forevermore. That means he's solid. He's solid. And so we need a God conscience. Let me give you something else you need. You need an anchor. You know, in Hebrews 6:17, it says, because God wanted to make his unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to us. In other words, what he promised, he confirmed it with an oath. But God did this by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. We who have fled to take hold of this have offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have an hope that is an anchor for the soul, and it's firm and secure. Now, your anchor cannot be your mother or your father. Your anchor cannot be your bank balance. Your anchor cannot be Pep Guardiola or Ten Hag. Whatever you see, it can't be your exam grades, your boss's opinion of you, your boss's promise of a bonus if you hit target. No, your anchor must be above. Your anchor must be in Christ Jesus. Because if you don't have if you haven't set in your mind very clearly what your anchor is, you will always be shifted and swayed. And do you remember when I showed you the pictures? Life starts as a cruiser. One day we're on that. And then all of a sudden, it ends up like that. Right? I think I've been on both of those. But that's the captain who sank the Costa del Sol, we'll call it. Costa Concorda. And many times we want to jump ship. I found myself jumping ship. But that's the picture of life. I should be able to take the weight and the pressure and endure. See, that boat is evenly balanced. Everything is set in line. It's got a pattern to it. It's got an order to it. He's obeyed the rules. He's protocol. Right? But many of us end up like that. Because we ignore the rules for that. Yeah? True? Can you identify with that? And then we use that, that's called drag. That technology there is to reduce the drag. Faith is what reduces the drag in our life. But you see this here? You see this? This is an anchor. This is after Queen Elizabeth. Now, There's something interesting about that anchor. You and I need an anchor for our soul. Right? Do you know the anchor that was on the Queen Elizabeth? Do you know what it weighs? 13 tons. 13 tons. How? What's the weight of God's word in your life? Is it a couple of ounces? Come on. What value do you put on it? Look at the size of that. Or that. These are big things. And yet, let's go back to the... It seems small when you weigh up to the size of that. But that anchor is, it says here, we have an anchor, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. It's firm and it is secure. Wow. So that anchor weighs 13 tons. I'm going to say these things and then we'll finish. Because like I say, I've got more time than you've got room on your backside. 13 tons. So it's got weight. Are you hearing that, millennials? Perseverance must have some weight behind it. Endurance must have some weight behind it. Because if it's something light, you won't persevere. You'll be like that boat on its side. Or you'll jump ship. Your life needs something behind it. Substance. Weight. Now, greater is he that is in you. How great is he that is in you? You've got to determine that for yourself. Because if you can determine how great he is, that will become the secret to your anchor. How great he is in you. If he's going to be a casual, is he going to be someone I'm going to meet on a Sunday? Is he someone I can only meet when they play the music I like? Yeah? Is he someone I'm going to meet? Listen, the only time you meet God is when you're in trouble. You've got to change your patterns. So greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You've got to find out how great God is inside of you. Now, this anchor, everybody say this anchor. Which anchor are we talking about? That one and this one. I'm using that as an illustration. But this anchor we call the living word. That anchor, that was on the Queen Elizabeth. Do you know what it has? It's got history, John. It's got history. Do you know what its history is? Perseverance and endurance. It sailed the high seas. It's gone through the tough times. The bitter cold waters, the icy cold waters, that thing has survived. God, from the beginning of time, Jesus Christ, his son, whatever God has done, it survived and has passed through. It's undisputable. He survived death and rose again. The grave could not hold him. Had they have known that they crucified the Lord, they would never have done it. He's endured. He's persevered. He's got history. So, right now, if I talk to millennials, it's unfair because it looks like I'm picking on him, but anyone who's a millennial, he's got a good-looking face, hasn't he? You know, you can't. You've got a face, Paul, look like your mother slapped it, but anyway. Because you got in trouble. No, it's actually probably Tom you slapped more than Paul. He was a good boy, wasn't he? It's probably Tom. The issue is this. You've got to ask yourself, what history do you have of trouble? Has it beaten you more than you've beaten it? The fact that you're here doesn't mean to say you beat trouble. You know that? The fact that you're here doesn't mean to say you beat trouble. Now, the anchor. Another thing about this. So we see this anchor's got weight and substance. We see this anchor's got history. Do you know another thing this anchor's got, what you have got as well? It was commissioned for a purpose. It was built for a purpose. This word was given for a purpose. Amen? This is the eternal word. This isn't the temporary word. This is the eternal word. It was spoken with you in mind. You're included in the coding of this word. Wow. The last thing about this anchor, it was always ready to do its job on any given day. Deploy the anchor. Down it goes. It's not going, oh, it's cold in there, I don't want to go in. Just drop the anchor, tush, splash. I'll hold everything together. We have an anchor. Come on, what's the song? We have an anchor. Hear the words then come out there. You know why I asked them for the words, because you know I don't have them. Now, the thing is this. If you falter in times of trouble, how strong is your strength? How strong is your strength? That's the question I want you to go home with today. And ask yourself, how strong is my Christian strength? Does my anchor hold me? Or am I constantly like that? Like that? Like that? Or like that? Now that's not a picture of, that's not our life, by the way. That's a pleasure, that's a moment of pleasure. It's a moment of peace, a cruise. Nobody lives on a cruise, but we all live on that. That's the picture of life. Navigating the waters with responsibility, with duty, with, you know, all those things that we've got in our life. That's what God wants to put on us. And the grace of God enables us to become that person. God could be able to, if I want you to change the world tomorrow, I've got to put things on your vessel that you've never even learned, you don't even realize. I've got to be able to put weight on you and responsibility on you and calling on you and commission on you and purpose on you that you never thought. And I'll do it and I'll build the vessel because my vessel always sails. The ark didn't sink. First boat ever built was in trouble. Was it in trouble? No. Everything around the ark was in trouble. Everything inside the ark was safe. So if God's going to build you, the anchor, you need an anchor. Every ship has an anchor. Some ships have two, even three, even four. Talk about backup. Okay, let's stand to our feet, if we will, please. I trust this has helped you. Millennials, Gen Z, baby boomers. What else did I miss? Z, that's it. Z. If you're troubled by trouble, then you truly are in trouble. I want you now to put your hand on your heart, if you will. And I want you to look up to heaven and say, Lord, if you're in trouble, talk to the Lord. And say, Father, I know that you're drawing me to your word. You spoke to me this morning about stepping into the waters and coming deeper. I can't go swimming if I'm not prepared to get my feet wet. For those who are not in trouble right now, you still need to go deeper. And God is saying, my word is the gateway into the water, into the ocean. Don't worry, you won't sink. You're designed to swim. And if you do sink, I'll rescue you. I'll rescue you. I'll rescue you. I will rescue you. I will rescue you. That's what the word says. There's a scripture that I want to encourage your heart with. Can I get it? No, can't find it. Oh, here we go. Here. Psalm 9, verse 9. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, O Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. There's the key. God will not forsake you in your time of trouble if you walk with him. No matter how high the water gets, how cold those waters get, how deep those waters get, God loves you. And God will rescue you. So jump in today. Stand up. Step in. Stand upon. And stay in until what? Until trouble no longer troubles you. And character and perseverance and endurance has won. Amen? So put your hand on your heart and say, Father, you will rescue me. You have rescued me. Your history has shown me that. I have no reason to doubt you. I have every reason to trust you. Thank you for those who have shown me the life. Thank you for showing me that there is a pattern. Thank you, Lord, for showing me there are those it's possible to come through trouble. I thank you for my parents who have had to navigate the waters of trouble so that we don't end up in trouble. Come on, come on. Acknowledge it before the Lord. Say it with like you mean it. You might say, well, my parents caused me trouble. Yes, but they also diverted you from some trouble. Show that gratitude to the Lord for your parents. And Father, I thank you that today there is a baby boomer in the room. Come on. Who reminds us once again for the need to persevere and endure. And irrespective of how old I am or how young I am, the need to endure and persevere is written all the way through the New Testament. And Lord, I am yours and you are mine. Father, I thank you for the word that's coming into my heart today. That once again you remind me, you send a message into my heart to build an anchor into my life that will hold me. And your word tells me it's your word. So Lord, give me an intense desire for your word. Give me an intense desire. Open the word up to me. Take me beyond. Shine the light on me, O God. So that your word in me has no end. Oh, Father, I thank you today for your word. And Father, right now, I know, O God, it will create a life within me. In Jesus' holy name. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give him a standing ovation.